Is there something in your life you just can't get over? Like, you're still mad about it till today? I don't know if it's just me. I don't know. Over the weekend, though, was my 2-year anniversary of getting fired from my last radio station. And, like, there's just still part of me, and that's a pretty big part, is frustrated about the whole situation. So are there ways to actually push through this stuff? The answer is yes. And luckily, our therapist friend Leah is here to help today.
Hi, my name's Kramer, and I am proud to admit that I am a mama's boy.
Not just any mama's boy, you're a certified mama's boy. And this is the Certified Mama's Boy Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Certified Mama's Boy Podcast. Happy Monday, everybody. Happy Martin Luther King Day, everybody. We're a podcast based on three principles, in case you're new. And that's a weird way to start a podcast. If you are new, I apologize. It doesn't usually start so awkwardly. It's live, laugh, love your mom, right? Live your life out loud, laugh a lot, and love my mom. My co-host, Nancy Yancey. Hi, Mom.
Hi, honey.
Okay, so you promised us on Monday that we'd finally find out this family secret. If you haven't been listening the last couple episodes, my mom has promised us that there is a family secret that we would be really excited about, but she didn't want to reveal it yet, and for whatever reason. Why could you not reveal it last week? I don't even remember.
Because I was waiting on something.
Okay. It's generic, but all right.
No, actually, I was waiting on a photo.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we had all kind of guesses. Most people are guessing something to do with a trip or possibly a new vacation house or something like that. But Mom, I guess the time has come that we're finally going to find out what this family surprise is. So without further ado.
Do you want to take one last guess?
I really don't. The dog was the right thing, and, or maybe, yes, some type of like vacation house or vacation. I mean, I can't think of really anything else because you already said no to a dog. We said Maggie wasn't pregnant. So I really can't think of anything else. And no one's really said anything that really sparked my like, oh my God, maybe that's it, you know?
Well,
so no, I don't, I am clueless.
For the money we spent, we could have taken several really nice vacations. But okay. This is something that we've been thinking about for a couple of years, and we decided to bite the bullet and get a new dock.
Okay. That was really anticlimactic. I don't think there's anything I care less about, honestly, right now. Like, I'm over here thinking, like, I don't know. For some reason, I could not care less about that right now. Like, I don't know. Are you like excited about it? Like, what's like does that make you? I feel like a dock is kind of like, you know, it's like a new roof. It's like, okay, cool, we got it. We need to have it. But like, I don't really want to spend all that money on it.
No. I mean, our dock is probably original to this house, which means it could be as much as 23 years old. And you know, every year we spend money on redoing the wood and, you know, repainting it and pressure washing it and all that stuff. And we just got so tired of it. And so this year we said, we're just going to go have a talk with the people and see what happens. So we're getting a brand new dock. And yes, I'm very excited about it. It has a lifetime warranty. It means my lifetime or Jim's lifetime. Whichever comes first.
So you wait. You said you're waiting for a photo. So you like have a photo of what it looks like, or is it already put in?
No. Oh no, it won't be here until July.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll look. Something to look forward to. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Whoa. What happened? Did you pass out?
That's just me rustling my papers on there. What's the next topic on today's show? I don't know. It's just that doesn't like. Does anybody else just feel like we got cheated a little bit? Like.
Well, you just, were like, the one. Like the way you built it up, Kramer.
Why couldn't you have told us this a week ago? Just be like, yeah, we're getting a new dock. Like, okay, cool. Like, I got to get my oil changed. Like, it's kind of the same category of like importance,
because
you know?
Because I think other family members, I think your other siblings will be excited because of will course they? They're here.
Well, is they're anyone here excited about a new dock? Does that like get
they're
people like pumped?
The summer.
Is it like is it like a really big dock, or does it look exactly the same as the old dock? I thought the old dock was fine. My parents, by the way, in case you don't live on the lake, and so. I don't know. I just, I don't feel in my heart And you know, I'm always going to be as honest as possible in this podcast, but like, I don't, that doesn't like, they don't know. That's like, well, we got the plumbing redone in the house. Like, okay, cool.
We could have done somewhere that.
Like, it's not like you had no dock. Then you have like no dock. And like, that would be like a whole different situation of like, okay, cool. You got somewhere to put the boat now, but just a new dock. But it looks exactly the same as the old dock.
No, it doesn't look anything like the old dock.
Oh, so do you want to describe it to us?
I don't know how to describe it. It's it's aluminum. It's two stories. It's got a great seating area on the top. It's got a big sun sail to protect half of it from the sun. It's got a higher pitched roof. It's got nice flooring.
And what's the price tag cost? I have no idea what a dock might even cost.
I don't know. We should tell you that.
It's like over 10,000.
Oh yeah.
Over 20,000.
Oh yeah.
Over 30,000.
Oh yeah.
Over $30,000 for a dock.
Uh huh.
40,000.
Uh huh.
Is it around $40,000 you guys spent? Here's what I worry about. I don't.
More.
Over 50,000.
Yes.
Over 60,000.
No.
Oh my God. That sounds like a lot of money to spend on a dock.
Well, listen, we haven't been able to travel. We haven't been able to do anything.
I know,
anything.
But like you guys, got, well like you're wrapping, you're wrapping it up over here. You know what I mean? Like, what are y'all like? Like your lives are you're rounding third base right now. You know what I mean?
What?
Like. Here's my fear is that like I gotta end up doing something with all this stuff eventually. You know what I mean? Yes, I do. Like what this is gonna happen is like y'all gonna die, and then I'll be like, well, I got this $50,000 dock, and they'll be like, well, it's worth about $20,000 now. And I'll be like, well, damn it, that's $30,000 of inheritance I could have had.
Honey, you can write off inheritance. No. We are blowing it out, baby.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like
anybody else can take care of yourselves. You don't need our money.
Anybody else feel cheated like when their parents start to spend a lot of money as they get older? Because you're like, that could have been my money. That really could have been.
You should be happy for us. And
I guess I'm happy. Yeah, I guess I'm happy. It's not something that really. I don't think that I'll feel any different about it when I'm there. I don't really. It's not. Wouldn't be a high priority for me. You know, like
because you don't come here in the summer very much.
Maybe
when you do and you see it, you'll want to come more in the summer.
Yeah, I'm sure that will be the key. A new dock will really. Well, congratulations on your new dock. I mean, people even say that. I just feel like it falls into like utility, you know, like.
If you live at the lake, they say that.
Awesome, you know, like
how exciting it is.
Yeah,
we were looking pretty shoddy around here.
Yeah, we gotta keep up with it. I saw the neighbors got. Now, last time I was there for Christmas, I saw the neighbors got a new dock. So I feel like it's probably keeping up with the Joneses at this point,
right?
Like you gotta keep up, have the newest.
We gotta keep up with the neighborhood.
The newest in dock technology.
It's kind of like that one. It's bigger.
Oh, you've got a bigger one. Okay. Well, that's, we'll look forward to seeing that, Mom. We'll look forward to,
Do you want me to post it on the fans page?
Let's give it a day to get the surprise out there. Let's give them a whole day to catch up on the episode. And then maybe tomorrow you can post them. I'm sure.
Okay.
Fans will be so excited to see what the new doc looks like. You're not even going to get for 6 months. But like, I feel like you guys are going through like end of life crisis, and I don't even know if that's like a thing. Like all of a sudden, have y'all noticed a trend? Like new phone, right?
Why do you say end of life? I'm 69.
Yeah,
I've still got at least 20 more years.
I mean, maybe, but maybe not. You know,
I can't live on the maybe nots.
Maybe you don't. Then what? Then I got
to
do something with this damn dock now. Like, just okay. Here's a deal. Let's make a deal. Okay.
All right.
You can buy your docks. That's great. That's fine. Mm-hmm. Like, just stop buying like thrift shop stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
well, that's
the stuff. That's the stuff.
That's
I
why
worry
we can
about.
Buy this dock because I didn't go thrift shopping during the pandemic.
Oh yeah, you save $50,000 probably just in thrift shopping.
Probably.
So. It's really no loss out here, really. Exactly. Just it was a wash.
It was a wash.
Yeah. Well, congrats.
And we didn't go out to dinner. We didn't go to movies. We didn't entertain. We didn't do anything. So yeah.
And now you've got a new doc.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting. I guess like that's it's like something you know like people get really excited. Like okay, for example, my thing is like sports cars. You know, people get like brand new sports cars or whatever, or like old cars. Mm-hmm. Or old cars might be a better example. They're so excited about them. Like, I try to understand and like get it, but I'm like, it's just like an old car, you know? Like, but it's just.
What about I feel when like you. With, go ahead. Yeah. Sorry.
No, go ahead. How about what?
What about when you added your terrace on your house in San Diego?
Yeah.
Now, wasn't that exciting?
Yeah. But I don't feel like docks fall into the same category as like landscaping. Okay.
It's home improvement. Yeah. Sure it is.
All right. Well,
and it's a place where we spend a lot of time in the summer.
Right. New dock.
Yeah.
New dock was the I apologize. I just want to apologize for the show for the build up for that one. I feel like it didn't need to be a week long saga, but alas it was. So
well, you just be more cautious next time when I tell you I have a family secret.
Yeah, I think you've lost all credibility of teasing now.
Okay.
I want to know if you can think about the scariest moment in entertainment that you've ever experienced. The scariest moment in entertainment you've experienced. I'm talking about going to a scary movie, maybe a haunted house, just something that really sticks with you to today, because over the weekend I experienced my absolute most frightening entertainment things. Most things that I see, like they don't really freak me out. Like scary movies, like, you know, I watch them, I get scared, and then I move on. You know, haunted houses, like I go and like, I get like a little fright, and then I move on with my day. There's something that I did this weekend because I mean we're kind of stuck. I know Atlanta people kind of stuck in the cold this weekend. You guys got a little bit of snow. It has not snowed here yet. We're recording this a little early though. So, I think we're supposed to get snow. We should have gotten snow last night. So maybe I'll cover in snow by the time this episode releases.
It's coming
looking
your
out
way.
The water and it's like, it's frozen over right now. Like the sheet of ice on top of the water. It's cold. It's been cold this weekend. So I've pretty much been in the house all weekend. Mm-hmm. So I started playing and I know this is going to sound ridiculous, but go with me here. I started playing the Blair Witch Project video game. And like on surface level, it sounds like it wouldn't be that scary. I've seen the Blair Witch Project movie. Remember the Blair Witch Project, Mom? It came out like the 90s.
Yeah.
Which actually, by the way,
I never
fun
watched
fact,
it
was based in Maryland. I don't know if you know that or not, but it was actually based, based here. Cool. So they had a video game sale and I was like, I didn't really want to watch a movie. I'm like, let me just like download this game and just whatever. It got like mediocre reviews, but it was $8. I was like, let me just whatever. Y'all, so here it is, Friday night, right? It's like I turn off the lights, and the game's kind of dark, and I turn off the lights in my apartment. I get sucked into this game, right? And it's really based on the video game, right? It's like the same principles. I mean, it's based on the movie, like, you know, stuck in the woods. In case you've never seen Blair Witch, you know, so you get stuck in the woods, can't find your way out, witches, boom, same kind of concept, right? Mm-hmm. So at the end of this video game, because I'm guessing none of you are ever going to play it, so it doesn't matter. You have to like go through this house, and this house literally like continues to like morph. So like you open a door and like it'll morph into something else, and like this ghost is like popping out at you.
Yeah.
Y'all, literally, I could like, and this is a video game. I don't really get scared over video games. I literally couldn't fall asleep for 2 hours. It's like 11 o'clock, I finished it.
No.
Like 1 o'clock, I'm still sitting here with my eyes wide open. I wake up Saturday morning.
No.
It's like the first thing I think about. I've just kind of been on edge ever since then of am I part of the Blair Witch? Like, I feel like the Blair Witch is literally in my apartment. I've been like that scared. Like, I literally can't sit here in silence anymore because I feel like when I hear noises, I'm like, huh, you know, like every little thing is freaking me out. Which feels ridiculous at age 38, you know? Like, I just not good. Not good. Ma, can you think of like something? Because like things don't really stick with me. I don't really like movies. I can't think of one movie that I'm like, oh my God. Maybe there's only one movie I can think about that really, I think, messed with me that was scary movie-wise. I think it was called The Strangers. Do you remember The Strangers, Mom? I don't know if you ever you watch scary movies.
You know, I don't watch scary movies. Everyone I've seen has been the ones you've taken me to.
Scary of the Strangers is about this I forget. I don't even remember the premise. I think they're at home. Maybe they moved into a new house or something. And it came out probably 10 years ago. And as they're in their new house, like it's like the middle of the night and like this, like people just keep knocking at the door and they go to the door and nobody's there. You know, it's like one of those kind of movies. Like, you know, somebody's lurking around your house, but nobody's actually, you know, in your house. I think it's scary because any of us can relate to that. Like, can you imagine just like being stuck in your house, like the middle of the night, somebody knocks on your door, literally probably the most scariest thing of all time. Now here's the thing: Blair Witch Project, probably not going to be a real thing. Probably shouldn't have been terrified of it, but literally like it will stick with me as my all time scariest moment in like entertainment history, because literally it was that, it like freaked me out that bad. Mom, can you think of anything? I know you don't do scary things a lot, but I'd like to start the conversation on the certified fans page, because what I want to find interesting about this is there going to be any kind of overlaps of stories, you know, like are we going to get like a common theme of like, oh my God, this one movie, and most likely I'm assuming it's going to be either probably movies, you know, that people get scared in. Can you think of a movie you watched even when you were younger that like, you just like, you still to this day get scared of thinking about?
Well, I didn't watch scary movies growing up, but, you know, one of the ones you took me to was Pet Sematary, and that freaked me out a few times.
The new one. I took my mom to the new Pet Sematary, the one that came out. I was living in San Diego. It was probably 2 or 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. Were you really that scared in that one? That one to me was so campy that, like, I didn't really.
Oh, gosh. I don't watch those things. But the most horrifying movie I think I've ever watched is one you also introduced me to, and it's Get Out. Oh, gosh.
That was really well done.
Oh, my gosh.
Get Out was a really well done scary movie.
To think about. It
just kind of made you think, you know?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. We'll start the conversation on the fan page. You can call it. There's like something that just like sticks with you. Because I swear to you, this stupid Blair Witch Project video game will never leave my mind. Like, I swear to you, it'll be etched in my memory for the rest of time. And I'm like, I shouldn't be scared. Like, I know it's fake, but for some reason, like, it stuck with me. It's like, this is
and
really
it's nighttime. It's always scary. Like,
yeah, it was dark. It was. I made all the had my house dark, which is terrifying too. And 1 o'clock, couldn't fall asleep. It's too scary. Let's do our Maryland Monday. I try to give you a little fun fact about Maryland every Monday, because I say that nobody knows anything about the state of Maryland unless you live here. You don't even know where Maryland is on the map, I promise you, unless you live here. You just don't. Like, I didn't know. I still am not quite sure where it is on the map. But it's a tiny little state, but like I swear to you, there's so much history and like love for this state. It's crazy. So as I'm learning with you, because I've learned a ton just from doing this segment. I just try to give you one little fact about Maryland, and you never know where it might pop back up. Who was Irene that said like she was watching some kind of trivia game show or something, and something popped up. I don't remember, but we're learning together over here about the state of Maryland. So the Baltimore-based TV show The Wire is widely accepted as one of the best shows of all time. It's obviously based right here. It's also a favorite of President Barack Obama's. Like the most of us, the president's favorite character is charming principal gangster Omar Little. So that's President Obama's favorite show is from is The Wire. Ma, have you seen The Wire before?
I haven't. Where is that shown?
I think it was. It's not. It doesn't run anymore. I think it was on FX. Let me do some research on The Wire. I never watched it, but I'm honestly scared to watch it because it's about how corrupt the city is. And
oh
so,
dear!
It's HBO. Sorry, it's on HBO. I'm too scared to like, I'll read you the synopsis of the show. It said the series looks at the narcotic scene in Baltimore through the eyes of law enforcement as well as drug dealers and users. Other facets of the city are explored in the series, and the government and the bureaucracy, the schools and the news media. The show was created by former police reporter David Simon, who also wrote many of the episodes. First episode aired in 2002. So it's old. I'm pretty sure they don't make new episodes. Ran five seasons. Sorry. This is one of those shows I'm kind of refusing to watch because
don't watch it.
Everyone I moved in Baltimore. They're like, oh my God, have you seen The Wire? I'm like,
TMI.
Yeah, like I don't think I really want to like know the current point on it. But anyway, in case you don't know, the Wire is based on Baltimore, and it doesn't have a very popular connotation of the city, so I'm just going to avoid it. at all possible costs. So there you go. Little Maryland Monday. All right, Mom, let's get to a quote for today.
Okay, of course, it's Martin Luther King Day today.
Yep.
And a lot of good service projects going on around the country, which I hope that will continue throughout the year. But he said, life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? We need to think about that every day. What are we doing for other people to make the world a better place?
It's one thing I'm really bummed about right now, honestly, is I feel like the radio show is not doing enough, like, give backness, if you will, you know?
Yeah.
I just don't have the manpower to get it done.
That's a lot for a radio station.
It's a lot. But, like, when we had five people, like in San Diego, for example, we had five people, all hands on deck.
Right.
And so it was a lot easier to do it because it was, you know, five people.
Right.
Here, it's two people, and we're so busy with, like, just the day-to-day trying to get the radio show produced that it's hard to even do, like, the external stuff, which is, like, what I love, right? Right? Mm-hmm. I really love doing all the feel good and the projects and the, you know, we did something over there called Make Happiness Happen, which I actually have a version of it ready to go here. I just don't have the resources to get it done right now. Like, I can't sit here and in case you, for the Atlanta listeners or Phoenix and everybody else, in case you didn't listen to San Diego, we see this project called Make Happiness Happen, where we literally said, okay, what can we do to make you happy today or make somebody else happy? And then, you know, people will call, we all did all kind of cool projects. We finished a yard for a family that the dad had been shot in a road rage accident. He'd started the backyard for his daughters who had grass allergies, and we
I feel so blessed to have been there to witness that.
Yeah, that was so cool, you know.
Beautiful time.
Yeah. Like, I love doing all that stuff, but I just I don't have, like, by the time I don't usually get done to about 12 or 1. And that's just getting the radio show produced every day, right? So we put it on from 10 to 6 to 10, and then I spend like 3 hours producing the next day's show, and then that's it. I'm shot. I got to come home and do Mama's Boy, you know? So take a nap, do Mama's Boy, work out, and that's it. Day's over.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's something I do miss, but it's a good question. Like, what are we doing
but
to help other people?
You know, what are we doing? What are we doing every day to help others?
I wonder, like, if you could even
project.
If you could look at, like, your relationship that way too, of like, what are you doing in your relationship to help your partner? I feel like that could really kind of shift, you know, your viewpoints of your, the way you're, you know, I think we get so caught up
in
like
relationship. Oh,
they're not doing this, they're not doing that, but more of like, what are you doing and how are you contributing to the relationship? I don't know.
Yes.
Just a thought. It's a good quote though. Yeah, MLK Day is crazy. I mean, we could say so many things about Martin Luther King, but
oh my goodness,
it's just so crazy because he was. I mean, how old was he when he got shot? This is the part that always freaks me out every year.
40 something?
No, he was like 31 or something. How old?
I thought he was early 40s.
Was maybe I'm wrong when he died. Hang on, he was 39. He was 39 when he died.
Okay.
So like all that, like I Have a Dream stuff though. That was like. Like young 30s. Let's see. When did MLK do his speech? Do his I Have a Dream speech? It'd have been 1963. How old? Hang on. I should have Googled this beforehand. How old was MLK when he gave the I Have a Dream speech? 35 years old.
Yeah,
that's crazy to me. 35.
I was thinking it was a while before he was assassinated.
Isn't that crazy though?
Yeah.
Like 35 years old. That man is like, and I'm over here like, I'm over here complaining about a family doc, and this man's over here like, you know, like he was literally 3 years younger than me, doing that kind of stuff. You don't see a lot of there's some, and I guess you know that's why he was so extraordinary.
Because
even at his young age, he was able to make so much, make such a huge impact on the world. It's kind of crazy, especially at that age.
It's
like
such
it's even
a dynamic
more.
Calling that he followed through on so splendidly and was just such a hero for freedom. And left absolutely. so many others.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's there's your quote for today. We'll get to Aaliyah on here in just a couple seconds with our Mental Health Mondays. I don't even know anyone's going to listen to this podcast. Most of you guys probably have the day off today. In the meantime, Mom, Valentine's Day is almost here. We got to talk about Manscaped. Manscaped's back on the podcast this week. Oh, yeah. It's everyone's favorite time. We're talking about men grooming. Manscaped is one of our advertisers. They are the experts when it comes to men's grooming habits down there. And now that we are in the Valentine's Day season, I would assume we would be, right? This is, I mean, literally, when I went to I went to Target right when I got back to Maryland before I got tested positive for COVID. And they were already putting out the Valentine's Day cards. It's like the 27th or whatever. And I was like, damn, like, that's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, the season's already here, you know?
Yes.
But as they say at Manscaped, roses are red, violets are blue. Don't let wild pubes wreck you. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. That's true. yeah, Mom, you know, the age old saying, right? I've been saying that since the, I think that was a Martin Luther King quote, actually. So since Valentine's Day is just around the corner, it is. I mean, honestly, like it's a great gift to give to your man and just to get ready for the big day and join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. They're the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. I've got a discount code for you, 20% off at manscaped.com, plus free shipping. So listen, the holidays went by really quickly. And if you didn't get a chance to give your man this gift, or gentlemen, the certified mama's dudes to listen to this podcast, if you didn't get a chance to pick up the Performance Package 4.0 from Manscaped, it really is great. I've been using self trimmers for since college, probably. So I can say that it's a great grooming package. It comes with everything you need. The lawnmower 4.0 is the electric trimmer, so you can get rid of the hairs down there, or just trim them up, which any way you want to. Also, Mom, I don't know if you know this, but this isn't true, but they're trying to propose that February 13th is a national holiday, is National Shave Your Balls Day.
No,
they're trying to work on that, but
oh boy.
Weed Whacker is also in there. That's for your nose and your ear hair. It comes also with the Crop Reviver. It comes with that's the ball toner, and then it comes the Crop Preserver, which is the ball deodorant. It's a fun gift, honestly. I think of all holidays to give it for, Valentine's Day would be the one.
Yeah, it's the perfect one.
So Manscaped. They created their package for their night just like this, and will make your Valentine's date say, "Wow, great set of balls you got there."
Do you think I should give that to J-Mac for Valentine's?
I don't want to talk about that. I don't. So go to manscaped.com and get our exclusive offer, 20% off plus free shipping with the code Kramer20. Your balls and lady will thank you, according to what they're saying here. All joke aside, I think it's a fun gift, and it really is quality hair trimming products. So manscaped.com, and then use the promo code Kramer20 for your Valentine's Day gift this year. Okay. Also, Dunn is back on the podcast. They are back because they're giving us they really want to make this work, and I really want to make this work for them. Dunn is our new partners that focus on adult ADHD. It's really all they really focus on. And what they're trying to do is make it affordable and accessible treatment, affordable, accessible for everyone. And the problem is, like, it's kind of a tricky niche to find care when it comes to ADHD. Like, you can go to your general doctor, but they're not quite sure. But you may not really want to, like, go to a psychiatrist to deal with adult ADHD. They may not focus and specialize in it. Luckily, our friends over at Dunn do just that. That's all they focus on, right? It's a mental health care within reach. You got a personalized treatment plan, online prescription refills, 24/7 continuous care when it comes to your life improving. Thanks to Dunn, and like your ADHD not having to like control your life anymore. You know, like I always say, if you use the word scatterbrained or all thoughts are all over the place, can't really get things done because you're bouncing from one thing to another, you probably have ADHD. And let's find a way now for you to find some treatment and get your life better in that sense. Not having to stress out about getting things done throughout the day because you're able to focus on one thing or another. It's great. So do this. Text the word done, D-O-N-E, to 888-Kramer-8. I'm going to send you over a discount. You're going to get 50% off your initial appointment. That's actually saving you $100. So seriously, maybe pass it along to somebody else, maybe somebody in your family or maybe a partner of yours. If it's not you, that's like just feels like they're scatterbrained. This could be the way to really start improving their life. Do this. Go to just text the word done, D-O-N-E. It's honestly the easiest way to do it. Just text the word done. I've just set up a little link that will bounce right back to you, and you can just click and get this discount. Done, D-O-N-E to 888-Kramer-8, and we'll get it done. We're done. All right, we're going to get to Leah with our Mental Health Monday in just a couple of seconds. And before we do, certified fans, thank you for being a part of the show. Really appreciate it.
We do.
You guys have been here for, we're getting near, actually, it's crazy, Mom. We're getting near the 2-year anniversary of Certified Mama's Boy.
That is amazing. That is so
amazing. We're about 2 months shy of celebrating our 2-year anniversary. Of course, we have another project coming down the pike. Probably, my mom and I are trying to figure it out now. I'm probably going to launch it to certified fans early February, probably like the second week of February around Valentine's Day. And then, because I was going to say January, but I don't think I'm going to have it done by then. But I'm going to try. We might. I just want to make sure it's all ready to go. We might. Because the thing is, I'm going out of town this week. In case you don't know, I'm leaving for this week's going to be a little screwy because I'm leaving for Florida on Thursday. I'm going to my buddy Miguel's wedding. And then I don't get back till the 25th. And then next weekend is like our if I'm going to do it by the end of the, it's going to have to be next weekend. So I'm going to try. But in case not, my goal will be Valentine's Day now. I feel like deadlines are there to be moved. You know what I mean? Like you set them and you just keep on. Okay. I think when you say, but it needs to be launched to everybody before our 2-year anniversary of the show.
And I feel like we're really,
that's a good
goal.
but I am really excited about it. I think it's a cool way for us to kind of expand on Certified Mama's Boy. And I like it because it's supported by certified fans. It is. Mm-hmm. So thank you to everyone that supports just these projects that we're coming up with. And if you text the word fans, F-A-N-S, to 888-Kramer-8, there's going to be an added benefit. I was actually talking to my mom before we started recording, how to add extra benefits for certified fans, right? But in case you're not one yet, you can join right now. FANS to 888-Kramer-8. You also get a whole episode dedicated to you when you join. It's kind of fun to hear your name on the podcast and know that you're a supporter. And when we don't have anybody new, we just go back. We think somebody's been here for a while because some of you guys have been here for almost 2 years now. That's great. Well,
yeah,
probably like a year and a half. We launched probably 3 months into the podcast, you know?
Yeah.
So we have nobody new over the weekend, but what we're going to do is we're going to spin our wheel of certified fans, and we're going to find out who is going to be our certified fan of the day, and they are going to get some extra love on podcast. I think I figured this out. Now I think I have to hit this button and then this button, and now you should be able to hear. Yeah, you can hear that, right, Mom?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Loud and clear.
Now you can hear the wheel spinning, and our certified fan of the day is going to be certified fan number 360.
Okay.
360 is going to be our certified fan. So this really should be a whole lot smoother. This section of the show gets I feel like a lot of good podcasts would just go through and edit this part out, you know? But not me.
Uh-uh.
We keep it real over here. Okay. That's certified right. Fan 360 is going to be Julie G.
Okay, Julie G.
Julie G is our certified fan of the day. She's from Chula Vista, California.
Okay.
Wait, is that right? No, you're not. I'm sorry, Julie G. I looked on the wrong. This is just a spreadsheet. She's from Sneed's Ferry, North Carolina. Julie G is our certified fan of the day. She's been a certified fan now. I don't know, but you've been for a while. And so I appreciate you, Julie G. This episode is dedicated to you. I hope that you were excited about my mom's big news on your big episode. you're disappointed. That makes two of us.
Let me know, Julie, how you feel about it.
but Julie G, you're a great certified fan. We appreciate you. This episode is dedicated to you. Mom, give her a whoop whoop.
Yes. Whoop whoop to Julie G.
There you go.
Thank you for being here.
And Julie G, we appreciate you. If you want to become a certified fan, text the word fans, F-A-N-S, to 888-Kramer-8. Mom, that's going to do it for you today. I love you.
Okay, honey. Love you forever.
Okay, it is Mental Health Monday time. This is every Monday. We have my therapist friend, Leah Aguirre, on. And she is a good friend and a great therapist. And we just talk through all things mental health. And it's brought to you by Dunn, the most affordable and efficient way that you can get help managing your ADHD from the comfort of your home. Saturday was the 2-year anniversary of my firing, whatever you want to call it, over at Channel 933, my past radio station. And I'm sure we talked about it probably this time last year too, but I feel like I'm still not over it. And like there's nothing more in my life than wanting to be over this situation, but yeah. I'm just not quite sure. And like, listen, I can read all the Instagram quotes. I can, the past, move forward. People can tell me whatever they want to tell me. Okay. I've heard it all. Trust me, over the last 2 years, but like, it still holds an angry spot. I actually had to go through, cause I, was sitting home with COVID last week doing nothing for 10 days, which is not good for the old mental health, by the way. Cause like you literally have nothing to do, but just sit there and stew. But I literally had to start basically unfollowing people on Facebook that had anything to do with that radio station, because I know that it evokes an emotion in me that I just don't like. And I spent most of last year working on closing relationships with fake people from that situation. But I was like, that'll do it. I can just, I just close the but I'm still like, I'm still not happy about it. Like, I'm still feeling like crappy about the situation. And then let's take my divorce. Like, my divorce, I'm like completely over, So I'm like, why and what is it going to take to finally get over something?
Well, I have a couple of thoughts. The first thing was with your divorce, like, I know it was difficult, but like you've mentioned, like, it wasn't a good fit. Like, it wasn't at the time, like, you didn't know who you were at the time really, or really had an idea of what you wanted. Right. So like when you met and then married your ex-wife. So I think there's like this piece of like, this wasn't for me. Right. Like this, and it was almost like it was mutually decided. I know it wasn't like it wasn't like super cut and dry, but I think you found that it was in your best interest. Right. Like it felt much mutual in that sense. And so based on what you shared, but I feel like with this radio situation, this wasn't what you wanted or had planned, right? Like it's pretty much.
I think it's two parts. It's not what I wanted. And then I feel like I got screwed, So like together, it's like a two part thing, right? It's like Like I guess to my marriage, it's like, I didn't necessarily want the divorce, but like, I knew it was probably for the best once I got over all the chaos of it, right? The radio station thing, I don't know. Like, I feel, because you know the full story. You know exactly what happened and what went on behind the scenes and everything. And that's something I've never shared before. And I'm sure I will one day, but it's just going to cause a whole lawsuit and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So I just don't even want to, like, get into it right now. I think it's, like, that part of it, of, like
– yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, of not having
the injustice.
Yeah. Yes. Feeling extremely injustice, not just for me, but for anybody that would go through something like that. Yeah. And I guess there's a little bit of shame in that still, of not speaking up when I should have spoken up, and having the opportunity to have made a point, but I didn't, because I didn't want to have a scarlet letter on me when it came to future hirings and all that kind of, which is stupid. It sucks. So I don't know. And I guess I'm sure there are people that hold on to things much longer than are good for themselves, good for the situation. Like, there's nothing, I mean, two years later, it's not like I'm going to go back and be like, excuse me, this was wrong. I think we should undo everything that was done. Like, nothing's going to change. Yeah. So like, how do you begin to move on from these things that we've held on to for so long?
Well, so there are a few things, and it's funny, I'm in my office, so I actually have like some of my therapy tools, which is funny, because I was like thinking, I pulled out one of my like list examples of core beliefs and cognitions for you.
Oh, so nice of you. You're such a therapist over here.
But something that you mentioned, so I think it kind of felt like it was, you were backed in a corner and things were done unjustly. And so there's that, right? Like the injustice of it all, which is a lot of the time the source of anger, is the injustice of it all. And I think a lot of people like struggle with that feeling, but it makes sense to me based on what you've shared with me that you would feel angry. But another thing you mentioned too is like you've made a few like should statements, like I should have done this, I should have done that. So there's almost like this, I know it's anger about the situation, but anger towards yourself, or like kind of this, I don't know, would you say there's regret of like how it, not what you
I,
did.
I feel, but here's the thing. It's like I always feel this way. Is I have a platform. I have people that, you know, listen to me, watch me. Have an audience of some sorts, and I feel like I made the wrong decision. I feel like I made the wrong decision of like, because I sit here and I'm so supportive on issues like that, you know, and I'm so like we need to be better about this. This needs to be better. Yeah. This needs to be different. So supportive. But then like the opportunity comes for me to like be a whistleblower. I don't do it. I don't say a word, you know? And like, that's just, I feel to blame in a sense.
Yeah. So that's what I was going to say is like, it feels like it's about the situation, you know, it wasn't like your fault essentially. And like how things went down that like the series of events, but there's like this sense of like responsibility or fault or blame that I think is, that's what's like really the source of two of the anger, or maybe the residual anger, because this is what I do. So like, I always feel like in an event that's like stressful or traumatic or, like even just grief or loss, sometimes there's this, we have these negative beliefs of how we interpreted the situation about ourselves. So it's usually like an I am statement or belief. So it's like, I can't be trusted, or I deserve to be miserable, or I should have done something different, or I am bad, or I should have known better. Like these,
like
I am
shaming
statements.
Yourself.
Yeah. But they're like these core beliefs about ourselves from these events in our lives. And I feel like that's kind of where you're stuck, is that like shame and guilt and the belief of like, I should have, you know, I made the wrong decision. I should have done something different. It's my fault for not doing this. And so there's, I think a lot of self-directed anger too, which is probably a root of a lot of the anger that you're going through. So I really think it's like reminding yourself, like, how can you challenge that thought? And really be rational with yourself, like objective. Like if I was in this situation, if roles were reversed, like how would you speak to me? You'd probably have a lot more compassion to me and for me, and you would probably be kinder to me than you are to yourself.
Right. Well, I think the frustrating part with that is because, let's say you were coming to me, you're saying the same exact thing. I would say the same thing that everybody says to me, but it just doesn't make it better. I would say things like, oh, you know, everything happens for a reason. And like, look, you're going to end up much better than you ever thought, you know, but like, it doesn't make me feel any better.
But that's not
two
what
years
I'm saying.
Later.
I'm not saying that though. I'm saying like, so the belief, like I made the wrong decision, like would, and I, say I were to tell you that, what would your response be? Yeah, you probably did.
No.
What would you say?
You made the best decision that you could have in the moment, maybe.
Yeah. So like, cause I think in that moment, if you're, you know, backed in a corner, like what are you going to do? You didn't have many options, right? Like, or options that felt good at the time. And so
I had 10 days to decide if I was going to file a lawsuit or not. And I opted not to, and to take my money instead, my severance, right? That was basically what it came down to. Was I had 10 days to sign a document that said there's nothing weird going on here. And I was sitting on half a year's salary, right? So that was kind of like, hey, listen, you got 6 months worth of salary here. You want to take it, or do you want to, you know, push this into some kind of lawsuit that like you may or may not win, which
so there's also
so
like
that's kind of where my head I have my head
at the time too, like with stability and like
of course, like where was it going to go? How was I going to get a job? You know, all these kind of things that I had to worry about on top of what do I do about what had already happened? It was just it was messy. It was a messy situation.
So I think telling yourself like I made the best decision I could at that time, or made the best decision for me that I could at that time. I think like kind of reinforcing that belief, or like challenging the beliefs of that are shaming yourself. Cause I think you do a lot of shaming yourself. So I think that will help with the anger. I also was going to mention too, you still have a lot of followers like from 933, right? Like, so I feel like you have a lot of fans and people that know you from that, from that like period of your life and that part of your career. And so I would imagine that's really hard. And people like message you about things about like what's happening, like just like radio, like listeners. And I know like that can't be easy to always get.
Sure. Those messages. It comes up from time to time. Right. It almost feels like that chapter can't fully close.
Right. It's like if someone breaks up and they're like, oh, did you see like what your ex was doing? Like it's
right,
like,
right, no. Right.
Now I do. Like, you know.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. There's one person involved in the situation. Honestly, this happened, I don't remember, one of the days when I was sitting in quarantine last week. And like this happens like once a month where I'm like, I hope something really bad happens to that person. And like, I'll like think of some terrible scenario that they're going to be in. And like, I'm just like happy about it. And that's terrible. Like that is a terrible thing to do. And like, it brings no good to anybody. But I just don't want to feel that animosity towards that person anymore. You know, I don't want to have those kind of thoughts. Like with my ex, I don't have that anymore. I'm just kind of like, all right, whatever, you know, move on. But with this one person, I still do. Yeah. So I don't know. But I guess I can start working on, I just keep thinking like every year. I'm like, okay, well, obviously by next year I'll feel fine, but I just don't.
But I think that's the whole resolution thing too. If that's your resolution to feel like fine, what if you still, cause I think you can harbor negative feelings towards it. Cause it was like effed up. Right. Like, I mean, I think also your expectations of how you should feel towards it, you need to be realistic because it was still a messed up situation.
So like, that's true. Like, am I ever going to feel good about it? Like, will I ever be like, that was fine? Like, probably not, right? Like, is that okay to never feel okay about this?
Yeah. Well, and I think I do a lot of like trauma work with my clients, and it's like sometimes I think the expectation will do like the trauma based treatment, and they'll be like, no, I mean, like I still feel like it wasn't okay, but I'm not as like distressed by it. I'm like, well, you're going to feel like it's not okay because it wasn't okay. Like,
right. Maybe my expectations are unrealistic then. Maybe I just think it's going to be on my divorce where I'm just kind of like one day, I'm just kind of like, that's fine. Yeah. But like, I'm not like that. And maybe because, I mean, being cheated on is not so great for sure. But I feel like what happened over there was like so much worse. It was so much more.
It was one person with your marriage and a relationship that was like,
it was like multiple people.
Like a system and just all these like, and like cultural and societal things go at play too, I feel like. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I feel 0% better, but maybe that's okay. maybe that's what it's supposed to be though. Is like my expectation is that like, it's supposed to just go away.
Well, but I think, do you feel like, I mean, maybe you just need to know it's not going to be okay. I think people say it'll pass, you made the right decision. Like, I think that, I don't think people are trying to be invalidating, but I also think it's like, no, it's not okay. It's effed up, and I'm going to feel like, I'm not going to feel happy about the situation. Right.
Maybe there won't come a day where I'm just like, well, it's okay. Cause it wasn't okay. So maybe that's where like the healing begins, is not having this expectation that one day it's going to feel okay. Leah is always great, and her social media is awesome because you can always get some good motivation from it. So Leah, where do we find you?
You're like, but I feel 0% better.
I feel actually worse than when we started recording. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm angry at you too. So
you can find me on Instagram at Your Modern Therapist, and I have like links to all my like resources, websites, and all that good stuff.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Okay, that's it for today. As time of recording, I'm sitting here freezing cold. I hope that you are not in the same predicament. All you San Diego folks, hope you're nice and warm. Actually, I heard San Diego's kind of cold right now, too, so I don't feel that's bad. Beatrice showed me a picture this weekend. It was like rainy and cold. I was like, okay. Thanks a lot for listening. I really do appreciate it. I don't say that just out of routine. I say it because I really do mean it. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. So many things, so many podcasts, 2 million podcasts you could listen to. And you chose this one to spend, you know, 30 minutes with. So thank you so much. Have a great Monday. Great MLK Day. See you tomorrow. The brand new Ask My Mom. Goodbye.
Okay, that's it for today. Thanks for listening to my son's podcast, Certified Mama's Boy. Be sure to review and subscribe and tell your friends. Love you forever,